You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here, you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Go to NewChurches.com and download the exclusive State of Church Planning Research Report for free. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with Todd Atkins.
I love the way you say resources.
Isn't it resources?
Resource. We're in the South, bro.
Yeah, but I'm Canadian.
Resource.
Today, Brent Dumler is a campus pastor, and he submitted a question that I think both of us will have a lot to say about it because it pertains to multi-site and social medias. Now, I need to say something before we hear this question. Todd Atkins, if you don't follow him on Twitter, it's at Todd Atkins. You will see he has a Twitter empire. And I, you know, I tweet at Daniel Sanghi. Sanghi is my Korean name, so it's S-A-N-G-I. I am a young Padawan compared to him.
I like the way you say Sanghi.
Yeah, well, it is Sanghi. It's not Sanji.
I know. In the South, that's how we pronounce it.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I'm not going to go there. Okay, let's listen to this question.
Hi, my name is Brent Dumler. I'm the campus pastor at Christ Community Church in Phoenix City, Alabama. And I blog on leadership at leadright.me. I would be curious to know what kinds of social media approaches and practices different models of multi-site church are out there. What are people doing and what are they finding to be effective? Thanks so much for taking my call.
All right. Well, thanks, Brent, for submitting your question. Just to restate the question, I feel like he was asking about social media and multi-site. So if we think about the idea of social media strategy and how multi-site churches are implementing that. So that's basically the essence of that question.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think the interesting thing here is when you frame the question that way, it almost sounds like there's a bunch of different things. I'm sure just like multi-site, there are a bunch of ways to do it. But I think it really boils down to really two content strategies.
Okay.
One would be centralized and one would be decentralized. Yeah. And honestly, it just depends. A lot of it depends on what you want to accomplish. I personally would go centralized simply because it helps if you have, for instance, if you have a Facebook account that is for your church, the campus can have a Facebook group. The pushback will always be when you try to centralize something, the campus pastors or individual ministries will be like, I need my own Facebook.
Yeah.
But it's a hot mess and you can't control all of it, especially as it grows. It's a lot easier to control it in the beginning than it will be down the road. I know that, you know, we may have a little bit of a differing opinion on that, Daniel, but
yeah, no, you know what? I think the way that you posed it is a fantastic starting point to think about a centralized social media strategy versus a decentralized. So why don't we just go down the different points? So a centralized strategy, instead of every, so are you saying that the youth ministry, the kids ministry in one campus, you know, because you have to go down there as well.
I'm saying about halfway through our campuses, so a couple years in, we took a good hard look at all of our properties, our social properties.
Yeah.
Meaning every campus, every ministry area, every, you know, Puppies for Jesus group in the church whatever affinity group that there were, you know, it seemed like everybody had to have their own Facebook page or Twitter accounts or, you know, all that stuff. And so for us, it was, okay, what should we do? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. And what, you know, could and should we be doing with who we are and who we are to the public?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then in a centralized model, would it be that every campus, so there wouldn't, each campus wouldn't even have their own Facebook page or Twitter handle? Are you saying that ultimately, the church would have one?
Ultimately, that's what I would recommend at this point in time is, you know, learn from this. What we will talk about on this podcast incessantly will be the mistakes that we made.
Yeah.
And so please learn from our mistakes. Yeah.
Well, that's
we're
how
not
we learn,
telling
right?
you so. Because we're smarter than you. It's just we
touched the burning hot stove
before you did. So, so in that regard, you know, we had, I'm not going to tell you how many we had, but it was to say dozens and dozens is not hyperbole.
Okay.
And maybe dozens on that.
Every ministry, every campus.
Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, a while ago, but still, you had primarily Facebook at the time and Twitter. And I would still say Facebook probably dominates most of church social. Mm-hmm. I'm personally not a massive Facebook fan, but, you know, it's a necessary evil. I would say what we ended up doing is once we looked at all those things is to take a good hard look and say what should and shouldn't be. Because when you do that, it's much more difficult to manage if you have all these things out. It's much more difficult to communicate things like, hey, we have to close because it snowed.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, you're right.
Only this campus is closing because it snowed. Well, right. It's really hard if you're trying to control, if everybody has their own people that are in charge of communication, especially if those are volunteers.
Yeah.
Man, it can just get really messy.
All right. So in a centralized model, then there's one. So let's talk about Facebook specifically. There'd be one Facebook account or one Facebook page for the church, and then multiple groups based on campuses, ministries. Totally. But then everyone would have their own personal account, which they're linking into. Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about staff.
Yeah, staff or whatever. And
absolutely.
Okay. So, now on Twitter, then. Now, would it be one Twitter church account and everyone using all the staff and volunteers using their personal Twitter? So like the youth pastor or the campus pastor.
Yeah.
You know,
I would say it would be,
we'll get to the decentralized model. I just want to plot out both ends of the spectrum.
Well, centralized, ultimately, if you went full centralized, you'd say there's one and that's it. And the end, there can be only one.
Yeah. And then everyone has their personal accounts.
Everybody has theirs.
Yeah.
I would, on Twitter, I would sing a different tune than on Facebook because Twitter doesn't have the abilities that you have on Facebook to be able to create, you know, specific groups.
So in the centralized model for Twitter, what would you recommend then for multi-state churches?
Centralized model, I would take one step away from centralization and give the campuses their individual accounts.
Okay.
If there are people that are actually using that as a communication tool.
And should the campus pastor tweet from that account or have their own personal account and push that?
I would say the pastor should have their own personal account because it just depends on what the philosophy of the church is on their communication strategy.
Yeah.
In most cases, the campus account is going to be communicating things that are campus-wide.
Yeah.
And the pastor, who knows what he's going to tweet? I mean, you know, it could be about the football game or whatever.
Yeah, so. That's good. Okay, now let's flip all the way to the other end, a decentralized social media strategy. What would that look like?
It's Book of Judges, and everybody does what is right in their own mind. And Israel had no king.
Yeah.
And it's a hot mess, and it looks like a hot mess. It feels like a hot mess.
Yeah. Well, it's almost as if when you're, you know, when you think of the idea of the life cycle of an organization or the life cycle of a church, the smaller you are, it's often easier to be organic and, you know, hey, oh, you do this, you do that. And because you're trying to get staff and volunteers and all that. But as you grow, you know, there is always this push towards centralization. Right. So, I mean, at the beginning of your church, it's like, oh, yeah, well, that campus pastor is a volunteer or they're half time. So, you know, I'm not going to put too many constraints on them or whatnot. But in your experience, by starting that way, it does and can quickly turn into a hot mess.
Well, what I would say is this. If your first campus is because it's just a strategic opportunity or a church down the road closed up and they said, hey, here's a building and a place to meet. I mean, that happens. Yeah. If it's that kind of a thing, then I would say, man, just, you know, you don't have to overthink it. If your pastor gets up in front of the congregation and says, we're going to start 10 new campuses in 10 years, then I would say from the very beginning, you need to take a good hard look at your governance. Mm-hmm. You need to take a good hard look at your communication. You need to take a good hard look at all those things because as it grows, you know, you're going to be to three campuses before you know it. And there's a magical thing that happens at three campuses that the wheels just start to fall off everywhere.
Yeah.
At five campuses, you can never go home again. I mean, it's just, it's here to stay. It's always going to be this way. So embrace it, embrace the messiness that it is. Here's the thing though. It doesn't have to be quite as messy. There are plenty of other things that are going to be messy. Communication, especially on social, should not be one of those.
Yeah. So would you recommend then for a church, as multi-site churches look at their social media strategy as a church, what kind of constraints or guidelines do you think the church should advise its key leaders and its staff members? Do you think the church should even, that a multi-site church should have that on its staff?
Yeah. If you look at, I'm going to mess up the statistic. 98% of statistics are made up on the spot, right?
Yep.
Okay. But no, it's in the 70s, and it's how many employers look at your social media before they actually hire you.
Yeah.
And I would say, why are we talking about that? Well, we're talking about that because I would say an equal number of people are looking at that. They're looking at your church handle.
Yeah.
They're looking at your personal handles. Mm-hmm. So I could just as easily, get on the bad side of my elders with something that I post on Facebook.
Yeah.
As something I say in the pulpit.
Yeah. Well, it's the 5-second rule, right? So once it's out there, it's out there.
It is.
Yeah.
It's gone. Yeah. And it ain't coming back again, because you grab screen shares or you can always go back and look. And if you have the right tools, you can really look.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you have any other questions about multi-site, church planning, multiplication, just go to newchurches.com and click on the sidebar that says send voicemail. And in 45 seconds, you can introduce yourself and ask your question.
Hey, I did have one more thing.
Yeah, okay.
Because I had like three.
That was the outro. Things.
I know it was the outro.
Fine, go, go.
So the reason why I say centralized strategy is it's easier to manage. You're going to have more effective reach. So if you're looking at SEO, or if you're looking at, just optimizing your reach, it's going to be more powerful if you do it together than apart. And lastly, it's going to be much less confusing for a new visitor. I know that you're thinking of scenarios in your head that it could be more confusing to have it centralized, but I'm telling you, over the course of time and over the course of questions that would come in from a new visitor, you're much, much better to keep it centralized.
Well, there you go. We plotted out the spectrum for you. My personal opinion is you got to figure out where you land on that spectrum, but especially for multi-site churches, you're going to have to lean more towards the centralized end of the spectrum. All right. Well, if you could be so kind as to leave a rating and review for our podcast, you'd be helping others discover the podcast and benefit from it as much as we hope you are. And every once in a while, we're going to randomly choose one of the reviewers, read your review on the podcast, and send you a free gift. Some weeks it may be a book, others, a new church's Moleskine notebook. We might even shell out our new church's Bluetooth speaker. In fact, actually, Todd, on episode 7, I think, let's do that. On episode 7, we're going to do our first big giveaway.
Cool.
All right. So episode 7, we're going to choose one of the reviewers and send them a custom new church's Bluetooth speaker. Now, this thing is awesome because it's not only a Bluetooth speaker, but it also doubles as a portable charger for your phone. So please leave a rating and review today. And thanks for listening in.